It was in the night, through the storm.
truth and song. I'm glad the anchor holds. You have your Bible open to Ephesians chapter number 6. I want to talk with you a little bit this morning about spiritual warfare. We acknowledge our veterans today, and we are so thankful for the protection, as I've mentioned, that they give and the sacrifice that they lay on the line daily. This morning I want to talk to you about another type of enemy. Another type of war. This war is a war that many are not even aware that's going on. I hear a lot of talk about our world and how volatile it is. There are those who are concerned about countries invading other countries, of dictators and rulers invading weaker nations to cleanse through ethnic cleansing. There are those even concerned about our country, about the probability or the possibility of war that looms in the horizon. And it is very possible. I do not know what tomorrow holds. None of us do. Now, God's in control. We understand that. But I do know some things. While I do not know about this physical, material war and the possibilities of them, I do know that there's coming one war that will end all wars. I've read about it in the book of the Revelation. I'm very much aware of it. But the Bible says that we're already at war. I talked with you a little bit about that last week. This country has been invaded. This whole world has been. Did you know that? It's been invaded by the enemy. He lies low on many occasions. He comes in many forms. He has devices, the Bible says, this enemy. Snares. In the passage of Scripture that was read in your hearing, wiles. He's a formidable enemy. And we need to be aware of his tactics. I want to give you some things out of this Scripture that will help you war a good warfare. This is for folks who were saved in the grace of God this morning. If you're here today and you're saved, this is your armor. Now, if you're not saved, then I want you to know that you can receive the armor when you receive Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus will save you. It's the only way to have your sin forgiven. You say, well, I haven't sinned. Well, now the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You see, all of we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way. So we're all sinners. The question is not, are we sinners? The question is, what can be done about our sin? And God has answered that question in his word. Now there's an enemy that's working against us. And as I've said, he's a formidable enemy. And God does not leave us in the darkness about this enemy. I want you to notice four things from this passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to spend much time on each one of them. Each one of them could have much time spent on them and still not exhaust it. But I want you to write it down. We'll talk about the adversary. If you'll notice in the Scripture here, it talks about the devil. In that latter part of verse number 11, it talks about the wiles of the devil, the adversary. But this adversary does not work alone. This adversary has a kingdom. You say, hey, now wait a minute now. Satan doesn't have a kingdom. That's not what the book says. The Bible says he does have a kingdom. He has hosts. He has an army. And we're going to talk a little bit about this adversary, just a little. And then we're going to talk about the armor. The only way that we can go to war, the only way that we can fight the good fight of faith, as Paul told Timothy, the only way that we can war a good warfare, the only way that we can endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ is to put on the whole armor of God. It's the only way. See, we're no match for the devil. We're no match. Did you know that there are songs that we sing, and sometimes when we sing these songs, we overlook some of the wordings of the songs that would direct our attention toward the enemy. I think of the song in this songbook, it's in on page 413. I just want to read you something. And it's talking about this armor. We sang it to open our Sunday school hour this morning. Stand up for Jesus. It's a fight song. As a matter of fact, when you read this passage of Scripture here, in the latter part of verse number 13, it says, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, you see. And he says in this song, it says, stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. You see, you'll never win this battle. I'll never win this battle in my strength alone. Can't be won in our strength alone. Stand up for Jesus. There's no army, listen to me, there's no army strong enough to defeat the enemy that I'm going to talk about to you this morning. So I want you to listen to me. Behind every war that's ever been fought, behind every war that's going on right now, this enemy looms behind it. Now, it takes on many forms and fashions and takes on many names, but behind every war, this enemy is at the root of it. He has invaded this earth. He was cast down out of heaven. The Bible gives us the narrative of that. Now he has invaded the ranks. And he seeks to destroy. He takes no prisoners. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger. Be never wanting there. You see, the songs that we sing speak about the armor. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war. You see, the old timers, they knew this is a warfare. This is a warfare. Many people not only are not suited up, they don't even realize they're in a war. But we're in a war. It was Martin Luther who wrote the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And in that song, you can look it up. It's on page 114 in this book sometime. You look it up. He talks about the enemy and how he's full of hate and how he wants to wreck and ruin lives. I think we've laughed at the devil. We've made light of him, and we've watched too many Disney and cartoons to where we think that the devil is what television makes him. Better than the devil is what God says he is in the Bible. And we've lost sight of our adversary, and we need to put on the armor. The third thing, we need to attack. I think some folks think, well, you know, as long as I have the armor on, I'm safe. That's not what this book teaches now. The Bible says that there are some defensive weaponry, but there's also some offensive weaponry, and we are in a war. And you don't win a war by staying on the defense all the time. You've got to get on the offense. Got to take, look at it here in verse number 17, the middle part of that verse, it says that we're to take not only the helmet of salvation, but we're to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, the Word of God. We're to take the Word of God. We're going to talk about the attack. And then finally, we'll talk about the allies. This is something that just recently in our pastor's meeting yesterday, Pastor Brandon brought up the fact of the allies. And I went and I began to think about these things yesterday evening, and I find it here in this passage, and I want to speak to you just a little bit about it. But let's talk about these things. Number one, I want you to write this down about the adversary. I hope you realize now, please listen to me. Please, I know what generation we live in. I understand the times we live in. But I want you to listen very carefully. The devil's number one goal is not just to damn your soul. It is to cause you to believe he doesn't exist, because then he has you. See, there are many people, when you mention Satan, when you mention evil, when you mention the devil, they kind of smirk and giggle because they believe in no such being. Can I tell you, whether you believe in a sword or not, if somebody stabs you with it, you're going to feel it. Amen. Could you imagine going to somebody with a sword and attempting to rob them and them saying, go ahead, I don't believe in a sword. When you run them through, they will. Now, I'm not advocating you go do that. I can tell some of you got a little smile on your face like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. No, I'm not advocating you do that. But what I am saying is, just because some folks don't believe in the devil, that doesn't mean he's not real. So don't you fall into that trap. He's done a good job of getting people to believe that he's just some a medieval, superstitious character. He's some figment of man's imagination. Oh, he's real. He's real. You don't have to look around too far to see his work. You don't have to spend too much time looking at our world as it is today, the current events of our world, to know that this enemy is alive and well, and he is on the prowl of mankind. Write these three things down about our adversary. Number one, the fact about him. The fact about him. You see, he's very real. And I cannot overemphasize that. There are so many people today, when you mention Satan, when you mention evil, when you mention a diabolical enemy, folks just, they just look perplexed in their mind. And what? A devil? Isn't that childhood fairy tale? Isn't that fable? No, it's reality. It's reality. And part of the reality is that folks even think that way. Number two, not only fact, but think about the force. When you look around today and you see all the evil in our world, just think about it, brethren. Just think about it. Some things just recently that have gone on. That family down in Mexico that was slaughtered in front of their children. Today there will be untold thousands of babies. Now listen to me, murdered. And the devil's come up with a cute name for it called abortion, to where people think it's okay. There are all kinds of wickedness. There will be people that will be taken gunpoint, and they will be beaten, robbed, and left for either half dead or dead in the world that we live in today. So I want you to know something now. This world is lying in the lap of the wicked one. We're in a dark day. This foe that we have is a force. When you read through the Bible, when you look back over the course of history, it astounds me at how people can stand and say, well, you know, I don't believe the Holocaust really happened. Listen, I don't even want to get off into that. When you look at the abominable acts that this enemy that I present to you today has stood behind in the killing of innocent people, the murder of untold multi-millions of people, he's still around today. And he's at work. So what would possess a man to do that? The devil. What would possess someone to take an innocent child's life? The devil. What would possess someone to do some of the heinous, wicked things that we're seeing in our society today? The devil. The force behind him. Then thirdly and finally on this adversary, because I'm getting through, I want you to see something about each one of these points. I want you to notice him as a foe. You see, he's your enemy. He's your enemy. Now I want to share some light on this enemy. All right? Look at him. Look, if you would, you're in Ephesians chapter 6. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to turn just for a moment. You go ahead and find your place there in Revelation chapter number 12. I want to tell you something about how this enemy got to this earth. All right? So go ahead and find your place there in the Revelation. That's the last book of the Bible. And look in chapter 12. And then turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want you to see something about this enemy. The fact, he's real. The force, he's powerful. All right? He's powerful. Turn back, if you would, to chapter number 6 of the book of Ephesians. And I want you to notice something with me. Ephesians 6, the Bible says in the verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word there comes from the word that we get strategy, systematic, methodical. He's got a well laid out plan. While folks are living today, listen, out of sorts, no structure to their life, just come and go, listen, absolutely zero aim and direction in their life, your enemy has a laid out plan. And I want you to know that this morning. I want you to know that. He is setting so many people up as they casually lope through life with no aim, no direction, thinking that they're headed toward a good destiny. I want you to know that somewhere along that path, he's going to pull the rug out from under many people's feet. And they're going over the precipice. Listen to me now. because he has wiles. You see that there in verse number 11? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the stratagem, the systematic, the methodical way in which he works. Look at verse number 12, if you would. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, we think the enemy, we have names for them. We call them by country names or by their government names, and they're this and they're that. But I'm going to tell you what the Bible calls them. Calls them the devils. The enemy is the devils. The devil and all of his cohorts. Look at verse number 12 again. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but I want you to notice what it says, against principalities. If I had the time, and I don't this morning, I've done this before, I would go through and tell you what this word means, and it talks about different ranks and positions, principalities, different powers. Look at it, verse 12. Against powers, against the rulers, watch this now, of the darkness. The darkness, there is a dark veil over our world today. A dark veil where people have no happiness, no joy. There seems to be no aim and no purpose in life anymore. That's why, and I'm going to keep bringing this up until God removes me, brethren. That's why the suicide rate among young people is skyrocketing out the roof. Because the rulers of the darkness of this world has stealed as a thief in the night, has stolen the joy and the purpose and the meaning of life, sucked it right out of people. Rulers of the darkness in verse number 12 of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. What are they doing here? Did you notice what it said of this world? Rulers, look at it again in verse 12. Rulers of the darkness of this world. How'd they get here, preacher? Didn't God make man and form him from the dust of the earth? And then put him to sleep and take a rib from him and make woman and put him in a garden? How did they get here? Well, I'm going to show you how they got here. Turn, as I've asked you to Revelation chapter 12. And I do not have time to go into this morning, but I want to just share a couple of things with you that you need to know. All right? War is a very real thing. It's a very terrible thing. Now, sometimes it's necessary. Even God said so. There was war in heaven, and the Bible says there's going to be war again. Look, if you would, in Revelation 12. In Revelation 12, we find where there is this woman that appears in verse number 12, the sun-clothed woman, the moon under her feet. There's no way that you cannot look at this and the 12 stars and know that this is the nation of Israel. It's the nation of Israel. How do you know that, preacher? Well, look at verse number 2. She being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. How's that Israel? Just because Israel's going to produce a child, you better believe it. She already has. Hadn't Israel produced several children? None like this one. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. You go back and you read in the book of Matthew and you find where King Herod said, I want all the children, I want them murdered. Kill them. That's exactly what John is referring to here. We're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. By the way, that is what Christmas is. For those of you who may be just a little confused about what Christmas is about, the Christmas is about God sending his son Jesus to this old sin-cursed world. And we ought to celebrate and sing joy to the world, amen. Because God sent his son. The Bible says here in verse number 4 that this dragon was standing over this woman, which was Israel, and he was ready to devour that child as soon as it was born. Now Matthew prophesied and told about it when it happened. Notice verse number 5. And when she brought forth a man-child, this man-child was different. This child that this woman, this nation Israel brought forth was different. Notice what it says about him. When the woman delivered this man-child, it was one who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. You know who that is, don't you? That's Jesus, amen. John the Revelator said that when this woman, when Israel was getting ready, the nation of Israel, which Jesus came through Mary, an Israelite woman, a virgin, when she was getting ready to bring forth this child that was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. God performed the miracle of Calvary through Jesus instead of allowing Herod, as he was influenced by the devil, to kill him as a child. That's what this is saying. What's that got to do with our enemy, preacher? I'm going to show you how he got to the earth. Notice, if you would. It says in verse number 6, the woman fled into the wilderness, and she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there, that God would feed her there for 1,260 days. 1,260 days, that's 3.5 years. That's half of the tribulation. All right, now look at the next verse. Verse number 7 says there was war in heaven. You looking? See, there's a war going on, brethren, that if God would remove the scales on our eyes and we could see it, it'd probably scare most of us half to death. There is a war, there's a jousting going over for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. A spiritual warfare. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, you better suit up. He said, I'm not going to fight. Well, listen, you're going to go down. Notice what it says now. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, some people believe, and I'm one of them, that third part that's mentioned earlier, the stars are the sons of man, are the sons of God, when the angels, when they were cast out, Satan and one third of the angels, which we call fallen angels, came out with them, and now this earth has been invaded by devils. You say, preacher, that sounds like some kind of fairy tale. That's what the devil wants you to believe, but it's a reality because that's what God said. It explains a lot of things that's going on in our world. I'm talking to you about our adversary. All right? Can I just, why, are you still in the book of the Revelation? Turn back to chapter 9. I want to show you something before we get back and I go on to the next point. This is something. Did you know that Satan's not going to be satisfied? Now, this book was written hundreds of years ago. Now, I want you to watch this. For those of you who have a little devil sitting on your shoulder, and by the way, the devil goes to church. And he's going to come to this church. We just don't want him to feel comfortable. Amen? He's coming, though. We just don't want him to settle in and feel comfortable here. Look at Revelation chapter 9. I want to tell you something before I read something to you. Did you know there's coming a time? It's already here. But it's going to get worse and worse in the tribulation period, when evil shall prevail and all of hell is going to be unleashed upon this earth in the tribulation of the great tribulation period. Thank God I won't be here, and if you're saved, you won't either. Amen. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says that men are going to shake their fist in the face of God, and they're not going to repent of their evil, and they're going to blame all their pain and all their sorrow and all the things that are going on in their life. We're seeing it today. Well, if God's a God of love, why does God do this? I'm going to tell you, God's not doing that. The devil is. The devil's just trying to make you think God's doing it. If God is this, if God is that, I'm going to tell you what God is. God is a God of love and power who has given us everything good in life. And we've taken it, most have taken it, crumbled it up, and threw it back in the face of God. You say, oh, preacher, would man do that? Take a look at Calvary. God sent the greatest thing that heaven had to offer. Man beat him like an animal, hung him on a cross, and said, here, God, here's what we think about your gift. See, we're dark that way because our enemy has influenced us. You know what's going on in our world today? It's going to become prevalent in the tribulation period. Look at, are you, Revelation chapter 9? Look, if you would, in verse number 20. Revelation chapter 9. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. The Bible says in the tribulation period that men are not going to repent. They're not going to repent. They're just going to curse God. Yeah, that's the way folks are today. God moves and God moves and God allows things to happen. And you know what men do? They curse God. They blaspheme God. Notice this. Are you in Revelation 9? Look at verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. I don't believe in devil worship. It's happening all around us. Happening all around us. Not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood. Watch it now. Which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither, this is what I want you to see. Look at verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders and of their sorceries and of their fornication nor of their thefts. That is four of the prominent sins of the tribulation period. I'm here to tell you right now, when you do the research, these are the four leading things that are ruining our world today. Ruining it. You know why? The enemy. The enemy. Did you notice how he narrowed it down to four? Look at it again. Murders. You listen, when you live in a big city, it's becoming prominent even in small cities. Are you in verse 21? It says they did not repent of their murders. Murders everywhere. Murders everywhere. Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, San Francisco. It's happening everywhere, and it's coming to a town near you. Why? The lawlessness of man, the enemy. The enemy. You say, preacher, I'm going to arm up. I'm not against that. I wouldn't get up and say that I would carry a weapon. Well, I'm going to get up and say it. You get you a concealed carry permit and get you a weapon. Protect. I wouldn't do that, preacher. I'm not opposed to that. That's part of the Second Amendment. Say amen. But I'm not talking to you about a concealed carrier's permit this morning. I'm not opposed to it at all. I'm talking to you about something far greater than that. Armor. The sword of the Spirit. Listen to me. Murders. Look at it in verse number 21. They didn't repent of their murders. Don't you think that that's going away now? It's just going to get worse and worse. You say, preacher, I wish you could give me some good news. That's coming, but I'm giving you some real news right now. Murders. Look at the next thing. Neither their sorceries. I challenge you to go home and look this word up. It comes from the word pharmakai. We get our word pharmacy. Big pharma's doling out the drugs. Our nation is on drugs. Listen to me now. Our nation is on drugs. Our world is on drugs. Everybody's got to pop a pill. Everybody's got to be on some kind of medication to help them cope. Why? Because that's the enemy. The devil. You can get, listen, used to be you had to sneak around the back alley to buy a line, a bag. You're listening to fix. Used to be you had to sneak around the back alley to get a fix. Then you can go down to the local pharmacy and get all you need. Sorceries. Look at it, brethren. I'm telling you, God has warned us that this time would come. It's come. Murderers. Sorceries. You see it there in verse 21? Sorceries. I challenge you to look the word up. You know why it's called sorceries? Because it alters your state. It alters your mind. It makes you someone else. It opens the doors for the enemy to come right in and take everything you have. Listen to me now. Not only murders and sorceries, but of their fornication. You know what that is? You say, oh yeah, that's when a single man and a single woman have premarital relations. That's not what fornication is. Look the word up. It comes from the word porneia, which we get our word pornography, which means perversion. It's men with men with children, women with women, people with animals. Listen to me. It's going on in our world today. And it's going to increase and increase. And it's going to wax worse and worse. Why? Because of this enemy I'm telling you about this morning. We're in a war. We're in a war. And we've got to suit up. So, well, I know about the armor. Knowing about it's not going to do you any good if you're not using it. We've got too many Christian soldiers that have gone AWOL. We've got a lot of spectators who forgot they were soldiers. Can I tell you, God's called me, God's called you, God's called us to fight for what is right. Can't fight sitting on the sidelines. It's time to suit up and go to war. He said in verse 21, murders, sorceries, fornication. Isn't it running rampant, brethren? There's no shame anymore. I think it was Sister Jessica Merriman, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. shared something, and are you in here, Jessica? She in the nursery? There she is. Shared something about the reading material. Was that you? The reading material in Northern Virginia, the schools. I tell you right now, that made my blood boil. They're feeding our children sexual innuendos, and they're feeding them all types of filth and garbage. The enemy, you listening? They're talking to them about things I won't even mention because we have our juniors in the service this morning. And we're supposed to be okay with that. I'm not okay with that. Amen. I pray to God you're not okay with that. Amen. Oh, let them express themselves, preacher. Let them grow up. I'm for them growing up, but they can grow up God's way. Amen. Let's grow up God's way. There's a time and a place, and certainly fifth, sixth grade in a school system is not the time or the place. Murders, sorceries, fornication. We got babies having babies. We got men wanting to be women. Listen to me now, brethren. We're twisted. The enemy. I'm speaking to you about the adversary. Got women wanting to be men and men wanting to be women. It's not a laughing matter. It's serious. It's serious. There is something twisted about a man who wants to be a woman. And a woman who wants to be a man. And a parent who wants to make their little boy a little girl. Listen to me. That is not normal. And yet we think we're supposed to just come to church and sing a few songs, and the preacher get up and, preacher, be sure to get through by a certain time so we can get home and do all we've got to do. Somebody needs to preach a little overtime to remind us there's an enemy out there. And we need to suit up and go to battle, or we're going to lose this war. He's coming after your children now. Listen to me, parents. He's coming after your children, your grandchildren. And I have committed to God, by the grace of God, I will not stand by idly and let him take that God has given me. How about you? I said, how about you? Got to fight. Got to fight. Murders, you see it there in verse 21? I'm going to move off of this now. Murders, sorceries, that's pharmacies, that's drugs. America is drunk and drugged. I think it was the communist leader Khrushchev who said many years ago, we're not going to have to worry about taking America. They'll hand themselves to us. Are you listening? We're not going to have to worry about taking them. I think this is during one of the crises where there was a little tension between the two. And he rose up and he said, we'll step back for now. There's no need for that. We're not going to have to do it this way. There's another way. It's not coming from the outside. We're going to allow them to do it from the inside. We're seeing it come to fruition. I hope you're as passionate. I believe many of you are as passionate about this as I am. Brethren, we have an enemy. We have an enemy. You say, preacher, he's knocked me down a few times. Can I encourage you to get up? I don't want to come over and listen and kick you while you're down. I want to extend my hand and help you up. Get up. We need every soldier in this battle we can get. We need every soldier in this battle we can get, brethren. It's real. It's real. Listen, you're gonna take what I'm getting ready to say and run with it anyway. So I'm just going to tell you, you do what you will with this. It's time for the Baptists to quit fighting with the Methodists, and the Methodists quit fighting with the Lutheran, and let's quit fighting. Listen, I told our Sunday school class, I'm not saying what to hook arms and form some kind of evangelical whatever. I am for distinctions. I am a Baptist. I make no apology for that. I am a Bible believer. But my enemy is not a born-again Pentecostal person. Listen to me now. Oh, now, preacher, you're not going to take the word Baptist off the church. No, and you're not either. We're Baptist. Amen. You're not going to worry about this preacher taking the name Baptist off anything. I'm a Baptist. But I want to say before I was a Baptist, I was a born-again believer. And beneath all of that, I'm saved in the grace of God. Amen. But we have got our artillery aimed at the wrong enemies. They're not our enemies. The enemy's the devil. That's why a lot of folks don't believe right. The devil has twisted them. So here you go. Murders, sorceries, fornication. Isn't that something? Fornication. Got folks living together, just having children by multiple men. Listen, if you're here today and you're in this, I'm not beating you up. Who am I to beat you up? You're looking at a sinner right here, okay? I just want you to know something about me. I'm a sinner. God in His amazing grace saved me. I'm not beating you up. I would to God that you could understand what I'm saying here this morning is not to in any way throw anybody under the bus or judge anybody. I'm just telling you that the enemy makes a wreck and a ruin and fools of us all if we would allow him. Don't you allow him. And then last of all, thieves. Look at what it said in verse number 21. And of their thieves. Well, I tell you, you have to lock everything down, don't you? Folks just take everything. You work for it and they take it. That's the society we live in. And what the thieves don't take, the government, well, they're thieves too, they'll take it. Say amen. You know, we're honoring veterans today. Well, yeah, I know that. But we got a bunch of thieves up in Washington. So, well, preacher, they'll come get you. Well, whatever. I'm just telling you what it is. It's the day we live in. And we need to be awakened and we need to be made aware. This is real. I want to close in Ephesians chapter 6 as you go back there. Our adversary. I'll finish this message tonight. You say, well, I'll be sure not to come. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. You need to know what this book teaches. This is the Word of God. And what I've told you today is right out of this book. That murderer, sorcerer, fornicating, thievery part, right out of this book. That adversary part, right out of this book. I want you to know that. God said it's going to happen. It's happened right before our eyes, and it's just snowballing. It's just snowballing. We've got some Christians, some churches more concerned about being friends with people than being truthful with people. Our churches have just watered everything down. Church is not church anymore. Just watered everything down and just nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong, you know. Can I tell you, if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Not if the preacher said it's wrong. If God said it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. And that goes for the preacher too. What are we going to do, preacher? This adversary, he's real. What are we going to do about these, back in Ephesians 6, these principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness? What are we going to do? Well, verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able. It's the only way you're going to be able to do some things. We'll talk about those tonight. I want you to notice about this armor, this one thing now before you leave. Because if you don't come back tonight, you're going to leave here thinking, well, I got to go find that suit of armor. I got to go put on something. I want you to know something. It's not like this. Okay? Will you do something that I've done in my Bible? Would you highlight or underline some words before I pray and we close? Would you do that? So you'll know they're spiritual. You're not going to be able to find this down at the local department store. What I'm talking to you about, the suit that you need to put on, you're not going to be able to buy it down at the local department store or outlet or some sale that you're going to see. You're only going to get it from this book and through the power of the Holy Spirit. I've highlighted some words in my Bible, and I want you to do the same. The first word I've highlighted is in verse number 14. It's called truth. That is a spiritual piece of the armor. It's truth. You say truth is spiritual? You better believe it is. See, our enemy's a liar and the father of it. He's a liar. He is. Let God be true and every man a liar. See, truth is important. And it's referred to as a girdle or a belt. It holds things. Truth is what holds it together now. Truth is spiritual. Number two, look at the word in verse number 14, the last word, righteousness. That's a spiritual piece of armor. You see that? Truth. Righteousness. See, when we think about going to war, we think about so many other things. But God said, hey, the war that I'm calling you to fight, that's going to help you be victorious in so many aspects of your life, it's going to take truth. It's going to take righteousness. We're going to talk about these. All right? Righteousness. And then I've underlined this. We'll look at the latter part of verse number 15. Peace. We hear this thing like world peace. World peace. There's not going to be any world peace until Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom. The enemy is going to destroy. There's wars all around us and rumors of war. We're just waiting to wake up the next day to find out who's invaded who. Who has done what to who? Men, greedy. It's all about money and power. I've also underlined in my Bible, verse 16, faith. You see these words? Truth, righteousness, peace, faith. These are spiritual pieces of the armament. Verse 17, he speaks of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, praying. And he also mentions right in the middle there, watching. See, these are spiritual words. Preacher, I know these words. I realize some things about them, but how am I to take that into me? Well, if you'll come tonight, we'll talk about it. And if you don't, listen, if you can make it physically, you ought to come. But if you can't, just watch it. Or at least look it up on your own. Research it. Prove me. I'm okay with that. Take the Word of God and see if this preacher's telling you the truth. I don't have a problem with that. We encourage everybody here, bring your Bible and follow along. The Bible is always right. Amen. It's always right. It's not about me being right. I'm not always right. But what I preach from this book is always right. The Bible is always right. So, we have an adversary. And he's very real. We have armor. And we're going to talk about that armor tonight. And then we've got to go on the attack, brethren. We've got to go on the attack. If all God wanted us to do was to be on the defense, he would have never given us the sword. The sword is an offensive weapon. You say, is it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Matthew chapter 4, when the devil, this adversary that I spoke to you about, he went to our captain, the captain of our army. Listen to me now. And he attacked him. You know what he did? He whipped out the sword. He said, it is written. Then he attacked him again. And then the third time, you know what the Bible says after that? The devil leaveth him. That's right. The Bible says resist the devil. How am I going to resist the devil? The way Jesus did. It is written. Listen to me now. Listen. Jesus resisted the devil. James said you and I are to resist the devil. How? It is written. Right? Let's stand to our feet. Adversary, armor, attack. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. We ought to be storming the gates of hell, stamping out these things that I spoke to you about today in the name of Jesus. And then allies. Aren't you glad we're not an army of one? Amen. I am so thankful that we're not in this together. Speaking of the church, the songwriter said, like a mighty armor. Our army, you know, we're marching, you see. The church. I'm so glad I'm not in this alone. We have allies. We're on the same team. If you're saved now. And it's not just us. There's a body of believers in pockets all around this world. People who believe the Bible, who are saved in the grace of God. And I'm thankful for that. Now, before I ask you to bow your head, I want you to look right up here. I want you to look right up here, everyone. I'm going to make eye contact with you. All right? Because I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. And I don't say this any other reason because I feel in my spirit God wants me to warn you now. You go ahead and you take this lightly. All right? And you let this go over your head or out your ear if you won't. I pray to God you won't now. I pray to God you won't. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been preaching like this and out of that book for over 35 years. I have seen this enemy take people like you and rip them to shreds. Go ahead. Snicker. I'm not being mean now. Please don't misunderstand me. If you could see my heart right now, you'd see brokenness and hurt. And I'm saying this as a warning to you. Go ahead. Shrug it off. Explain it away. Predetermine in your heart, I'm going to do what I want to do. This enemy that I just presented to you is going to destroy every ambition, every dream, every hope you ever had. Going to break you down. Just maybe, you might float in on a piece of broken ship with enough strength for some brother or sister in Christ to help you find your feet and salvage a little something out of what you thought your life was going to be. Now listen to me. It's real. I can't tell you now, the individuals, young people, listen to me, who said, oh, I'm not going, oh, I got a life to the wild oaks to sow. I'm going to do it my way. I wish I could just have them stand up here and tell you how their way worked out for them. I wished I could. It's real. It's real. I don't believe it. It's just like that sword. Don't have to believe it. When you get run through with it, doesn't matter if you believe it or not, the effect is going to be the same. All right? I don't believe in the devil. Doesn't matter if you believe in him or not when it comes to his attack on you. The result is going to be the same. Would you bow your head with me just for a moment?